It's time to get strong, fit, and resilient. Welcome to the Fear Being Average podcast with your host, Brandon Rinka, where Brandon shares insights, practices, and education on leveling up how you look, feel, and perform. Say goodbye to complacency and get ready to kick the door into a new standard of living.
Okay, so today we are talking about rep ranges for specific goals, which is a very important topic to highlight because a lot of people, they have a goal in mind. Say they want to burn off some body fat, they want to lose some weight, they want to change their body composition, maybe they're getting ready for a performance goal, so a race of some sort, and their training style doesn't really change. You know, you have a lot of people that are constantly doing the same kind of work, and I've preached this over and over, the benefit of phasing your workout and playing around with a multitude of rep ranges, different styles of working out, so you can actually, you know, have a primary goal of strength every now and then, a primary goal of building muscle, a primary goal of burning body fat, maybe some strength endurance, maybe you do have a performance goal here and there, so you train more in a performance manner, which could consist of more corrective work and core stability and multi-planar movements. So it's just beneficial to switch things up for one, right? We don't want to get caught up into, well, I heard the best rep range for hypertrophy, i.e. muscle building, is X, Y, and Z. So I'm always going to stay there. Because here's the caveat. That's the best rep range if all things are equal, if you're starting from a base of zero. But once you get into and the body starts adapting, there's different things we can do to manipulate the workouts. But ideally, you kind of move yourself into a different phase of working out. And even though that rep range is traditionally best for muscle building, going into a strength rep range can actually elicit greater overall results for your body composition because you're going to get stronger and that new signal is going to build a lot of muscle mass. So that's one other thing we need to make sure that we understand. Just because there is an ideal rep range for hypertrophy, for strength endurance, for, you know, absolute strength, they all complement one another to a certain degree, right? If I'm in the strength rep range, that's still going to build muscle. If I'm in the hypertrophy rep range, that's still going to build strength and can actually build strength endurance, especially if we manipulate the rest periods or total volume, right? If we're doing strength endurance, for example, that can improve my overall strength. But what we're talking about in this episode is optimal rep ranges for that specific goal. So if we were to, you know, break it down, if someone wanted to improve their, you know, absolute strength, right? How strong they are, how much weight they can lift. Let's just say they're getting ready for a powerlifting contest. Now, I know the majority of my audience is not that. They're not getting ready for a powerlifting contest. But it's still really beneficial to throw yourself in an environment where you're really pursuing the art of strength, right? And in that rep range. So you would kind of go into that and you would highlight that particular rep scheme, right? And if you're someone who is focused on muscle building, it's going to be really beneficial to obviously stay within a rep scheme for a certain period of time, but then work outside of that rep scheme, right? So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about optimal for the specific goal in mind. So again, all things equal, someone comes to me, they're doing nothing, and they say, hey, I want to build as much muscle as possible. This episode is built around sending them in the perfect, most optimal direction at that given time, okay? And this goes for all the different modalities that we're going to cover today. So just remember that they all complement each other, all have their place for the other as well, but these are the optimal, most proven rep ranges for that specific goal. So strength, to improve absolute strength, if we're at a race in 4 weeks of who could get the strongest, this would be the rep range that would give you the best chance of increasing your absolute strength. Just like if we had a 4 week to 8 week race of how much muscle to gain, this would be the optimal rep range to build muscle. And same with strength endurance, same with fat burning, same with performance training, okay? So let's dive into it. So if we're gonna start off, we'll work our way up. So we're gonna look at absolute strength. And when I say absolute strength, I've already kind of went over this, but it is the amount of weight you can lift the most of, right? That's your absolute strength. If someone says, what's your absolute strength? You would be like, what's my one rep max for bench press? How much weight can I lift for the deadlift? How much weight can I lift for the squat? It's just how strong are you at the end of the day? If shit hit the fan, could you lift this? Could you not lift that, right? So to get stronger and build absolute strength and improve your relative strength, which is the weight you can lift per your body weight, that's relative strength, this would be the rep range. You want to work within the 1 to 5 rep range. Now, for a lot of people listening to this, they've never experienced this type of programming. They've never played around with the 1 to 5 rep range. And this is something I'm proud of with the SFR training system, is I created different phases and blocks of training that all highlight these different training methods, right? I have a 12-week block of training that's really specific towards strength. I have a 12-week program built around the physique transformation, so more hypertrophy. We have the same thing for performance and same thing for like kind of foundational strength. So that's what I was really excited about doing, because I wanted to introduce people that never would have actually experienced this rep range, but do it in a progressive manner, do it in a way that we phase our programming, month to month, and we slowly start getting people introduced to a healthy approach to these rep ranges. So we're looking at 1 to 5 rep ranges to improve your absolute strength. Now, what that equates to is 85 to 100% of your one rep max for your lift, okay? So if you ever see that programmed and someone says, there's a number beside it and says 85% of your one rep max, that's gonna be kind of the bottom of training for strength. Anything outside of 85%, so 84% all the way down to 2%, it's not quite as advantageous as that 85 to 100 if we're looking to build absolute strength. The reason being, there's a lot of motor unit recruitment done within that 1 to 5 rep range, right? Meaning that there's a ton of muscle fiber recruitment. There's a ton of central nervous system engagement, so more of that neuromuscular coordination, where there's that communication between the nervous system and the musculature at that time, right? And that occurs within that 85 to 100% of your one rep max. When we're training for strength, typically what we will see are sets going up. So there's going to be higher sets, lower reps, and rest period is going to increase as well. And with that being said, the total training volume and the frequency at which we train is going to go down. So when I say total training volume, that would be how many exercises we're doing, how many sets and reps together we're doing. It's going to be largely based around, 3 to maybe max 5 exercises per workout. And you're going to do that around 3 times per week, right? It's not something that you can do 5, 4, 6 times a week, right? Because it's just so demanding on the nervous system. It's very demanding on the body as a whole. And your body needs ample amount of recovery to come back and attack your next strength session as strong as possible. So something like a Monday, Thursday, Saturday workout scheme would be ideal, or a Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, depending on how you, structure it. But something where you typically want at least minimum 48 hours in between training sessions, especially when we're in this low rep range where there is going to be a much greater demand on the body to lift that weight. And that's why we want to increase rest periods. I see a lot of people that want to get stronger, they want to build up their strength, yet they're so programmed into not taking enough rest because they're so used to circuit training or class style workouts. So they want to get the workout done. They want that sweat and that calorie burn. But with strength, that's not the adaptation. The adaptation is to get stronger. And to get stronger between sets, you need to be able to rest and recover and replenish your ATP enough so you can actually move that 85 to 100% weight again in your next set. You don't give yourself sufficient rest periods between the sets, you're not going to be able to move significant weight for the appropriate programmed rep range. So we really got to make sure when we're talking about rest periods, we're talking anywhere between 3 to 5 minutes rest between sets. Okay, so again, that's going to seem very foreign to a lot of people. It's going to feel very odd and awkward just to sit there for 3 to 5 minutes. When we're talking about building absolute strength, if that is your goal, this is the game we have to play. Next, we're moving into hypertrophy. So when we're talking about hypertrophy, we're talking about the aesthetics of the body. We're talking about the physique of the body, improving how your body composition looks for the most part, okay? We're looking to build lean muscle tissue. At this rate, at this state of what we're trying to do, ideally, we want to be within the 6 to 12 to 15 rep range. So let's just say 6 to 15 reps is our ideal rep range to build muscle. Now, I'm going to say something here just to make sure we're clarifying. Any rep range can build muscle, realistically, right? Anywhere from 1 to 30 reps, let's just say. We're not going to get crazy and start talking 1,500 reps. But 1 to 30 can build muscle. Now, the only caveat is when we go outside of like 15 to 20 reps, you need to go closer to muscular failure, right? You can't afford just to have a challenging set if you're looking to produce similar hypertrophy gains, right? At that point, you're going to have to really push your body to a point of real failure. And a lot of people don't know what that feels like, and they don't typically do that. So I don't like throwing them into a hypertrophy program with such high reps because they don't really know what real, you know, failure feels like. When you're in that 6 to 15 rep range, you don't have to chase failure, right? You can play anywhere between having one rep in the tank to zero reps in the tank to, you know, up to upwards of four reps in the tank, meaning that you could have done an extra 3 to 4 reps, but you called the set. Ideally, I like to, let's just say we have three working sets. The first two sets, I might have 2 or 3 reps in the tank. And on that final set, I'm getting close to mechanical failure, if not one rep in the tank. So it's my most challenging set. But that's what you can do with that 6 to 15 rep range, which you really can't get away with as much with the higher rep ranges. In the lower rep ranges, if you're training the 1 to 5, definitely you'll still build a lot of muscle mass. Typically, you're going to want to push that a little bit closer, you know, to failure as well. You might be one rep in the tank. But that 6 to 12, you have a lot of wiggle room to play around with. Now, just to go off topic for a second, but not too off topic, if we're really trying to find the perfect rep range of strength and hypertrophy, let's just say we want, you know, 4 weeks of a program that's going to really nurture both of those goals really well, 5 reps is really good because it kind of fits right in between, right? It's the end of the strength phase in terms of how high we want to go for the rep range, and it's the low end of the hypertrophy. So it kind of sits right in the middle of giving you the best of both worlds if we're looking to nurture both of those at the same time. And I do have an SFR program, Anabolic Enhancer, where it is around that 5 rep range in phase 3. So that's one thing I do want to say. Typically with hypertrophy, anywhere 3 to 4 sets works really well. 60 seconds to 2 minute rest periods. 2 minute research shows is probably the best rest period range, but you can manipulate them. That's the fun thing with hypertrophy. You can start throwing in supersets, and you can throw in giant sets, and you can take shorter rest periods to, you know, have incomplete rest between working sets, and you just lower the weight. You can play around with tempo. Lots of ways to play it around, but let's just say we're just doing straight sets where you do a set and then you rest and then you do another set for 8 to 12 reps, somewhere in that range. 2 minutes is going to be sufficient. It's going to give you a long enough rest period to recover, hit that 8 to 12 reps again. And it's going to be not too short or not too long where you feel overly rested. And we're kind of, we're overly rested and we feel like we've kind of released all the blood, right? We want to keep a little bit of that, you know, tension in the muscle with hypertrophy training to a certain degree, right? Like I said, there's different methods to play around, but if you're doing straight sets, ideally we do have close to full recovery. And typically with 8 to 12 reps, 2 minutes is going to get you that whole, that replenishment of your ATP, which is obviously your energy stores. Going into strength endurance here. Strength endurance, which you'll typically find within class scenarios, just with how the outline is laid out here, will be 20 plus reps per set. You're going to have short rest periods anywhere between, you know, 20 to 45 seconds of rest. You're constantly working the muscle, right? You're giving it very incomplete rest, never a full rest period, unless after a, you know, particular circuit is done, then you rest for, you know, 2 to 3 minutes. But typical strength endurance is you have the body working in a fatigue state, obviously with a lot more time under tension with the muscle, hence the 20 plus rep range. I've worked people up to, you know, 30 and 40 reps before as well. 90 second sets, 2 minute sets, stuff of that nature can, you know, could definitely push the capacity of muscular endurance. But when we're talking about muscular endurance, that's the adaptation, is to improve the durability and the stamina of the muscles, not to build a bigger muscle, not to get the muscle all that stronger. Yes, it'll be a little bit more defined, It will be a little bit more toned, a little bit stronger. But, you know, the main adaptation is purely going to be that there's more stamina in the muscle, right? So it's getting close to the point of, you know, aerobic work where you literally can go for hours upon hours of consistent static running because you're using more oxygen at that point. You're no longer, you know, using ATP as effectively. You're no longer using glycogen, and it's really based off of just the oxidative system. So strength endurance, we're getting pretty close to that point where we're kind of, you know, high-end glycolytic and kind of moving slightly into the oxidative system where oxygen is your primary fuel source. So this is why when you look at long distance runners, they have a lot of stamina in their legs, but their muscles aren't all that big. So you're not looking to improve your body composition. You are looking to purely build muscular endurance. But again, if you're on the 20 rep range, absolutely, you're going to build some, you know, strength endurance. Depending on the exercise you choose, you can definitely build some strength. I've done some 20 rep squats before, and that definitely nurtures strength endurance. It definitely nurtures hypertrophy and actually builds some strength because, again, I'm building up a lot of muscle and I'm giving my body the opportunity to adapt to a different type of strength, right? Strength stamina, for example. Now, when we're talking about fat burn, one thing I want to clarify, a lot of people have it backwards, is when they do fat burn, they go all in with how fat burn typically is sold to them, right? It's high intensity, it's calorie burn, it's work up a big sweat, it's high frequency. What you want to think when we talk about burning off fat is how can we burn off fat but also spare muscle mass, right? We don't want to compromise muscle for the sake of burning off body fat. That is a losing strategy. That is going to slow down your metabolism. That is going to create a state of higher chronic stress. It's going to fluctuate your hormones negatively and impact your hormones. And it's going to create a high likelihood of rebounding and putting all that fat back on, if not more, down the road. So what we want to avoid, like I said, is losing muscle mass. So when we think about burning off body fat, rep ranges, typically I'll go closer to training in a manner to build. So I'm going to stay away from that strength endurance, because strength endurance, as we noted, is not the most optimal training strategy to build muscles, is to build stamina. So what I'm going to have us do for a fat burning state, if that's your goal, the best rep range will be anywhere from that 1 to 5 to 3 to 15. Okay. Ideally, I like to sit right in the middle. I think this is a perfect time to train anywhere between the, you know, 4 to 6 rep range and have a couple exercises to 8 to 10, which we're going to get into. So what you want to think in terms of, you know, just a way to look at it is train to build. So train like you're trying to build muscle, eat like you're trying to burn body fat. Okay. I'm going to repeat that one more time. Train like you're trying to build, eat like you're trying to burn body fat. That's the key, right? It's going to be diet. When we're talking about fat burn, let's stop thinking about what can we do in the gym to burn fat. Start thinking, what can I do in regards to my diet to burn fat? Still train to build, because that's a lot more fun, I would say, right? You know, training in a way to build muscle mass, you're keeping your muscles feel, you know, full, looking a little bit more dense. You're not sacrificing precious muscle that you've worked so hard to build, because it's not easy to build muscle. Let's make that clear. You got to eat a certain way, you got to train hard, you got to train consistently. It's really difficult to build muscle, hence why you see a lot of people not with a lot of muscle mass on their body. Some people are fit, in shape, thin. Other people are really obese and out of shape. Then you get that select few that have that well-balanced physique of, hey, this person actually has a lot of muscle because they actually dedicated themselves to the routine, to the program, to the weightlifting, to the eating, to build that muscle. So it doesn't make any sense to lose any precious muscle that you do have, whether you have a lot or you have a little. So we want to diet, focus on reducing our calories, so we're in a calorie deficit. You know, primarily 300 to 500 calorie deficit would be fantastic to keep that body fat burning off without sacrificing too much. And if you need to, you know, incorporate more at that point, you can add in a few sessions built around sprint work or a couple high intensity circuits or high intensity interval training once or twice per week on top of training to build. And that's going to be a really good strategy. I created an actual guide. It might be a 10 to 12 page guide that I gave to the BR365 Strength Squad online. Haven't had it up for purchase, but if someone is listening to this and they want it, feel free to message me. But it's talked, the guide is built around how to burn body fat and keep muscle. And it literally has a strategy of how to do this. The best approaches and what you should focus on to do just that. Burn the body fat, keep the muscle, best of both scenarios. Now, one thing I'm going to suggest and kind of push people towards, for the average person listening to this, I think all of these rep ranges are useful to jump into at some point within your training year. But for the most part, I like doing more of a hybrid blended approach for most people. I like nurturing a little bit of strength, so I would call this more of an undulated approach to training. Undulated just means we're kind of mixing things up. And you can mix things up week to week. You can mix things up day to day within a training session. So this would be an undulated approach within a session. So if we typically think about an undulated approach within a week of training, you would look at one day would be like strength. So let's just say we're going to pick three exercises to keep it nice and simple. The bench press, the deadlift, and the squat. So on day one, you would do like a strength workout. So that 1 to 5 rep range of squat, deadlift, bench. On Wednesday, you would do more of a hypertrophy a rep range around those exercises. So maybe you go into dumbbell work and you do dumbbell Romanian deadlifts. You do dumbbell incline chest press and you do dumbbell goblet squats. And then on the Friday, we go to that strength endurance and you do the 20 reps and you're doing things that are maybe a little bit more body weight oriented or band work or dumbbell work again or barbell. It doesn't really matter, but we're just in that 20 rep range, right? That would be an undulated week approach. Now, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about within a training session is what I really like to focus on. So within a particular phase of training or block of training, we have a primary focus. So let's just say for the next 3 months, our primary focus is to build our absolute strength. So we're primarily sticking within that 1 to 5 rep range for our main foundational exercise of the day. But an undulated approach would have us playing around with different rep ranges within that workout. So our primary exercise, because we're in a strength-focused training block, would be 1 to 5 reps. But then we actually have accessory movements and we have complementary secondary movements that are built around a little bit of hypertrophy, a tad bit of strength and endurance, and that's how we kind of build our routine. And then 3 months later, we go into a physique phase, for example, and now we're going to have our primary exercise like a back squat, overhead press, a bent row, or a deadlift is going to be played around with that 6 to 15 rep range. And then maybe we have a couple different exercises that are built towards strength endurance on the high end. So for some extra volume, let's just say some hamstring curls or lateral raises or bicep curls, something more isolation oriented. And like I said, our primary is going to be in the low end of that of 6 reps because we're right around that, you know, 5 rep range. We really like to nurture both strength and hypertrophy. So this is a great way to never quite neglect any particular approach to training. Now again, the way I built the SFR training program, there are specifics that I'm looking to hone in on. But even within some of these programs, there is still a highlight or a hint of hypertrophy for the last exercise or two, or a little bit of strength and endurance just for some added volume for our supportive tissue, like our triceps or hamstrings or glutes or something of that nature. I feel like that blended approach works really well, not to overcomplicate things. If anything, I think it just gives you a different way to build your routine. If you're someone who says, well, I don't really know what I should neglect. I don't want to not nurture some muscle right now. I don't quite want to go all in on strength, even though I do think there's a lot of value in that. How do I blend the two? And that's how I would do it, right? I would say my primary focus for the next 8 to 12 weeks is going to be strength, so that will be your primary. And then you can support those exercises with more of that hypertrophy rep range or a little bit of strength endurance. Typically, like I said, I like to pick a primary block and phase of training that I'm going to really hone in on, and I'll do just a tad bit of accessory work outside of that rep range, but still on the low end. So lots of ways to play around with it. If you're someone who doesn't really have a specific goal, I would go more towards the blended approach. That way you kind of get the best of all worlds, but I would still be conscious of when to switch things up and when to switch up my primary focus. So definitely always lead with a primary focus. But then if you're someone who has a very specific goal and you want to really see great physiological adaptation over the year. I think there's a lot of benefit in, you know, really focusing on each of these phases, for example, at a certain point, and, you know, honing in on that for a couple months at a time, you know, supporting it with, you know, the last exercise or two with something outside of the primary focus, just to kind of hint at a different rep range, keep the joints safe and healthy, and that way you can kind of experience a little bit of variety in your training as well. Now, just to kind of cap everything off with how would you train for performance, because there are probably some performance athletes listening to this. Typically, again, you want to be in a rep range that's going to be built around power, built around speed, built around, you know, force, something of that nature. So there, you're going to play somewhere between that 4 to 8 rep range, but then you would manipulate things like speed of movement, intensity. So maybe you're moving that 4 to 8 reps with a lesser intensity, but more velocity, i.e. more speed to the movement would be beneficial, or you really kind of go straight into almost a, you know, banded movement on the bar just to kind of manipulate the strength curve, and you're going for all explosiveness and you're keeping the rep range low and the percentage, i.e. the intensity of the movement, i.e. the weight, low as well. So there's lots of different ways to play around with it. Like I said, this was not a podcast to give you the exact answer of how you would build that structure, but if we're looking at performance in that 4 to 8 rep range is going to be your best bet. Because one thing I do want you to take away from this, if you are a performance athlete, you're someone who does, you know, endurance sports, you definitely should be strength training. It is the number one predictor of keeping your body healthy and keeping your body injury free, well more supportive than mobility and flexibility, anything of that nature. Strength training is going to keep your body the healthiest. And you want to do at least 1 to 2 days a week of, you know, good strength training. And that 4 to 8 rep range really hones in on building strength, building power, and at a time, building some lean muscle tissue. Don't support your endurance training with more strength endurance in the gym, right? Especially if you're, because you're going to get a lot of that strength endurance from either doing the sport or from, no, so yeah, doing the sport, practicing the sport. So let's just say, let's use an example of a marathon runner and also an obstacle course racer. You're going to develop the endurance and the stamina when you go for your runs or when you actually do your specific sport. So if you're an obstacle course racer, you should have a couple times a week where you completely put yourself in the environment of an obstacle course racer. You're doing things that involve climbing hills. You're doing things that have you gripping different things, and you're swaying from ring to ring or whatever an obstacle course race consists of. That's what your majority of your training should look like. Then when you're in the gym, what you're trying to do is not mimic the sport. You're not looking to, you know, take 10 different exercises and make it into the high intensity circuit. No. Your goal is adaptation in the gym. Your goal is to get stronger. Your goal is joint health. Your goal is to improve performance. So you want to nurture that by getting stronger, becoming more powerful, and building a little bit more supportive muscle tissue. You don't do that by going into a crazy strength endurance. You got plenty of strength endurance through the actual sport. So keep that in mind. If you're someone who is in that particular space, when you come over to train, train like you're trying to build and improve your performance, not like you're trying to mimic your sport in the gym. That is one thing a lot of people get wrong. They make that mistake. When I see endurance coaches do this, they're in the gym, they're endurance coaches, they're not strength coaches, but the way they nurture their athletes is they put them in a, you know, 5 to 10 exercise circuit, and they're just doing shit for high reps for time with low rest periods, and that's no way to adapt the body to get stronger. Again, it's just a shittier way of building stamina, and why not just go for a run at that point and actually develop stamina in the sport that you're actually going to do? That's way more beneficial, way more time efficient as well. So there you go, guys. Hope you enjoyed this episode. And again, if you have any questions about where do you go from here, again, I've said it a couple times on the podcast, I have the SFR training system online that you can purchase a program, you can purchase a block of training, you can message me directly as well, come up with a routine, but those programs are built for you guys to experience every single rep range I talked about, a performance phase, a strength phase, a physique phase, and a foundational phase to get you introduced into weight training, get you stronger, get you balanced. It's all there for you, so definitely a healthy approach. And if you do want that fat burning guide of how to burn fat and keep muscle tissue, hit me up as well, and I can figure out a way to get that over to you. All right, guys, have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Fear Being Average podcast.